You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there. I'm Rob Zaberski. You're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And I have a huge treat for you. You already saw it in the introduction, one of my favorite people in dentistry. We could talk about anything all day long, and you're going to enjoy this, Rob Zaberski. So stick around. He's going to talk about how we don't go crazy and we can master this thing called our mind, and he's an expert at it. You'll see that in a second. But a couple show notes before we get started. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching the broadcast, if you have questions, add them to the feed and I'll dish them right to Rob and we'll get the answers straight from the expert while he's on. Also, if you're watching them later on, which we're watching the metrics, a lot of you watching them late at night, all that kind of stuff, continue to add questions to the feed because we want you to get the most out of this. Also loving all the suggestions that you guys keep sending for shows. We're lining them up and thank you again for all the shares. We're up over 39,000 followers, over 150,000 of you on iTunes. All I can say is thank you and we are just having a blast today. Now, my guest today, the man, the myth, the legend. If you haven't seen this guy speak, you got to have him speak. We had you speak at our Team Palooza. You and I met at the Seattle Study Club Symposium many years ago. Yep. And I think you speak way more than any of us in all these different realms, like all over the place. But before we get started, people don't know who Rob Z is. Give them a little background, who you are and what you do.
Yes, I'm Rob Z, the long version, Rob Zaberski. You know, just spelled just like it sounds. Yeah, I'm a professional speaker, coach, and soon to be best-selling author with Freedom Personal Development. Yes, I'm. I fly around the country helping people learn how to be a better version of themselves. So yeah, we do all different types of personal and professional development training programs. Hopefully, a lot of folks watching this have been a part of our memory training program, where we teach you how to remember things like names and faces and patient details and numbers and how to remember funny words like occlusal and other stuff that I probably can't pronounce. And let's see, what else we do? Train your brain for success, attitude, goal setting, time management. My fun one I tried telling, you know, you do that, like, what do you do? I tried this one. It didn't work real well. I unscrew thinking was one I tried going with for a while because people can really get themselves in a lot of trouble. And oftentimes their thinking and their mindset is what does that. So that was my quippy one, I unscrew thinking, but people didn't seem to get that. So I either need to stick with it and really help them out or just try something new. So that's,
or just
try, you know, what else?
Just say,
you know?
Yeah. Like marketing. Lori Owens is watching and she says, what shoes does he have on? So what does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Lori, bless you. I have fun footwear. Josh Austin and I have the same pair of shoes. It's kind of funny, actually. I told him he needs to put new laces in. Lori, this is for you. I'm in flip-flops today because
you said you weren't wearing pants.
I am wearing pants. Come on. Right. Come on. This is an adult show. It's kid-friendly. It's got to be kid-friendly. I'm actually home in the office for the first time in many moons, and so I'm going comfortable, casual, yet professional.
Yep. And you just rode the triple bypass in Colorado.
Oh, second. I'm a two-time finisher of the triple bypass ride in Colorado. I won't lie to you, I'm pretty proud of that one. Mm-hmm. We had to dig a little deep. That was it's epic, man. For any of our cycling friends out there, it's 8.5 hours of pedaling. It's 120 miles. It's 11,000 feet of climbing. The thing starts at 7,500 feet. It ends at 9,000 feet. We go over three mountain passes that are 11.5, 11.9, and 10.5. It's a buster. You spent a lot of time in a saddle, Kirk. I'm sore in places I didn't know I had places.
Yeah, that is awesome. But it's truly, you get such a high from it. It's awesome. A great burn. Yeah.
It's funny because it's so super corny. Totally got to use all the stuff I share with people all the time, like setting little goals, having the big goal, keeping things in perspective. And my cousin came out to do it with me this time. It's the first time he'd ever done an event like this. And he was like, man, what you do works. So that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. Now, you guys are experts. I've watched you develop, not only to speak. We're going to talk about your book, which you've already sold many, many copies already, and it's not even released yet. How do people can get that? But what you're teaching right now is crazy important because people are losing their minds, right? And even dentists, you see it all the time. And you guys teach a very methodical, science-based approach, how you can keep your brain and master your thinking and get more energy. And it's counterintuitive. It's not really what you think, right?
Yeah, there's what we think. There's what seems like common sense. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, just turn that around. And that's actually how to get stuff done. There's examples. We talk a lot about the biggest thing we talk about is this concept of slowing down in an effort to accelerate your results. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people I talk to, you know, I mean, I know that you do a great job of helping people kind of get their calendars nailed down to where you're only working 4 days a week and you get that 3-day weekend. So, you know, intuitively you're like, oh my God, I've only got 4 days work. I got to go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you got to take some time and slow down or you're going to have some bumps in the road.
Yeah.
My favorite analogy on this one I share is, you know, if you think about a pilot flying an airplane, the goal is to land the plane safely and get all the passengers to the destination. Mm-hmm. The most important thing, the most important thing that the pilot needs to do in order to accomplish his goal is literally pull back on the throttle. Like if he didn't physically slow down the plane, it would never land, or if it did, it would crash, and that's just not achieving the goal. So like, that's like the really super simplified version of example of what I mean to slow down an effort to speed up.
Right. In today's day and age, do you think our brains are any different than our parents? Or like, is there more stimulus going on? Because you hear the argument in dentistry, we're getting less sleep. We got more digital responses going on in our brain. Is it the same or is it harder these days to get our brain focused?
I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I think it's harder. I think we have, and I think it's because we have so many more distractions available to us. I mean, listen, this has been talked about. I've talked about this. You've talked about this. You know, there was how many channels, dude, how many channels did we have growing up?
Three. No, one of them was black. Well, I don't know, but I had the needle nose pliers. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to ask. Check this out. My aunt and uncle had the wired remote that had like seven little toggle switches. It was like, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Which one? So only three of them worked, but there were seven. They were planning ahead. But like, look, dude, I mean, we got watches, we got phones, we got iPads, we've got computers, we've got TVs, we've got monitors, there's so many opportunities for us to be distracted. Mm-hmm. Our brain just squirrel, it's just off to the races no matter what. We've got patients coming in, we've got staff, the sheer number of distractions alone. It's not TV channels. It's not radio stations. It's not Sirius XM stations. It's not Spotify. It's just we inherently adapt and we go, 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 go. And then all of a sudden it's just like that whole idea of the bar getting raised and raised and raised. What used to be just like balls of the wall is now the norm. And then you just keep going up and up and up. And I know that you and I had the chance to see Peter Diamandis speak at Symposium this year.
Yeah.
It was so funny. People around me are like, do you get any of this? I'm like, don't talk to me right now. I'm geeking out. I'm totally geeking out right now.
Yeah.
But he talked about, you know, if you've been uncomfortable with the acceleration in technology in the last 5 years, just like hold on tight, because we're going to see more growth and more acceleration in the next 2 years than we saw in the last 5 to 10 combined.
Yeah.
So like it's not going away, and it is the norm. But the good news is we don't have to be a slave to it.
Right.
Like there's a bunch of very simple, so simple that like in today's day and age seems like, well, why, that's just dumb. But the reality is it's those things that work so well, you stop doing them. You know what I mean? And so just getting back, reconnect with some of those tiny little things to get your brain refocused. That'll be the difference maker for a lot of people in the next 2, 5, 10, 20 number of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're watching, you got to watch what this guy talks about, because he is spot on. It's hilarious, but it also works, because I use a lot of the stuff that you talk about. And before we get into the how, I want you to talk about the why in this, because training your brain now is a very important subject. You know, you can't turn on the TV without hearing about the mental health crisis, which I agree. Like, we got a major mental health crisis going on. Talk about how important this is to control this thing in between your ears for the coming years.
It's totally key to the whole scenario. I mean, we've got, in risk of sounding overly promotional, we've got like one or two chapters of the book that talked about different ways to take care of yourself. You know, everything from how you talk to yourself, to your input sources, what you read and watch and listen to, you know, going, what do you do? What do you do for a workout? You know, like, I mean, I won't lie to you. I just abused myself for 8.5 hours on a bicycle, but I mean, it was cathartic to a degree. I mean, it was a mental health day for me.
Yep.
It just you got to do it. It's easy to get stuck in this rut. What feels like the groove, but is actually the rut. And just giving yourself the opportunity to get away from that and take care of yourself mentally, it's huge. My cousin, who I spent the last like 3 days with, he's a firefighter in Elk Grove Village, which is the next town over from me. And I mean, they got some. He's seen some stuff. And we, I mean,
those guys get the worst calls, you know.
I'm telling him we're gonna stay at this hotel. He's like, "Oh yeah, no, I don't go in those places." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "I can tell you some stories, and I can tell you some stories, but again, it's a family show."
Right.
So you know, he's like, "Yeah, those extended stay places." But no, one of the things he talked about is like in the firefighting world, they're really investing in and spending a lot of time and effort in therapy and having people taking time to just pay more attention to their mental health. Cause you think about it, you know, these are the guys that are like, gotta grind it out, gotta harden the F up, you know? Right. And the reality is that's actually detrimental, and it's not sustainable. It's not a matter of if, it's when you're going to crack. And when they crack hard. And I mean, look, if I need to be saved from a fire, I would really prefer that my firefighters be, you know, on top of their mental game. And I mean, just substitute dentist or perio or endo or oral surgeon or in that same scenario. And I think we all agree, like, I want who's ever playing around in here, I want them on top of their mental game so that they're getting it done at a high level.
Yeah, you don't want to be looking up and one eyeball is going this way and one eyeball is going this way. And you're like, "Doc, what's happening?" And you're like, "You don't even want to know, you know."
So, but yeah, I mean, bottom line is, you know, people sit there, they'll get up at five and it's fine. People get up at 5 a.m. and they'll go work out and they'll go hit the treadmill for, you know, a half an hour. Or they'll do their CrossFit or they'll do their whatever. And then the reality is, like, you can just sit and meditate and pay attention to what you're doing in your first 5 to 7 minutes and you're like in this space. And that is just as beneficial as sweating it out for 30 minutes. It's one of those things that, well, but I'm not sweating. I'm not doing anything. No, you're sweating. You're doing it right. You're sweating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so give us the ground rules for this and a little background and where can we start? You know, because there's times I feel like I'm going crazy. So give us some background on this and then take us through it.
So we're like, okay, just like self-awareness is the key. Just, okay, be kind. Like I've said this before, be kind to yourself. Like notice where you see a gap, right? Just for so many people, they're full throttle all the time to the point where they're not capable of taking that step back to even seeing what's going on. And unfortunately, by the time they recognize, there's probably collateral damage somewhere else, be it relationships or professional or physical fitness or health or, you know, whatever. But just take a step back and really, you know, are you living the life you want to be living? Are you happy? Are you doing what you want to do? Are things ringing up the way you really want them to? If not, where's the gap?
Right.
And then just work on those things one thing at a time. And it's little things like choosing to find the positivity, choosing to find the good. This is what we share with people all the time. It's like when you choose to see the good in a scenario, oh my God, that just shifts the perspective anywhere.
Yeah.
Everything you do. So, I mean, if that's the only thing you do is go just figure out, okay, this sucks, but it's better than the alternative, or it's better than this, or, you know, I actually learned a lot. I got a lot out of this or that. Just that helps shift mindset so quickly. You know, it's things that people have heard before, practicing gratitude. Just, I know you and I talked about this at length the last time we did this program. I mean, it's not rocket science. Again, it's one of those things that it works so well, people stop doing it.
Yeah, it cuts off. I've heard somebody say this. It cuts off all the emotions or all the air supply to any other emotion. So once you're experiencing gratitude, you can't experience anything else. And I've got to believe that it affects the rest of your body in a positive way, because, you know, I've seen you speak so many times. Most of our self-talk is negative, right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. Well, whether it's verbalized or not. Yeah. A lot of it is negative. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Either about ourselves or other people or whatever.
Right. Right. What's this idiot talking about this time? Yeah, totally. It happens. And so just being aware of that, it does wonders. It does wonders for it. It shows up in literally how you show up and what you look like. You know, you go from
absolutely.
Yeah.
We try to teach, you know, nothing brilliant, but fourth grade baseball, you know, and trying to tell the kids, you know, you got to project, it's about leadership here in the dugout. Like, you can't go away upset. And when they start working together, it's amazing how the chemistry affects the rest of the body and the performance of the team. And it's the same thing as adults. It goes a long way. But what do we, you know, when it comes to the brain, where do we start with this? And give me some exercises that I can do, at least on a daily basis, to get refocused and re-energized.
Yep. So, I mean, number one, just have a clear picture for what you want and why it's important to you. You know, this is not, again, not rocket science. Mm-hmm. Have that vision for what you're going after. Understand why you're even doing this whole shindig in the first place, you know? And so that, you know, it's the vision, it's the goals. It's funny. I had a coaching call this morning or this afternoon with a guy who he had just gotten off vacation. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, man, I'm walking around and I'm just not motivated to work. I'm like, how long do you want to let that happen for you? Because you and I got some goals and you're paying me to make sure you hit them. So,
right.
And so I'm like, when's the last time you actually spent time like reconnecting with what's important to you? He's like, yeah, it's been a while. I'm like, let's start. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, get clear on that. Have a good routine. We talk about this thing called the power hour, and we may have discussed it last time. And it's been written about, it's been discussed, it's been called a couple different things. The short version is what you do in the first 30 to 60 minutes you're awake. It sets the tone for the rest of the day. So what you want to do is you want to structure those first 30 to 60 minutes in a way that's going to let you rack up as many wins as you possibly can.
Right.
Generate momentum and get your brain on that positivity track.
So I'm guessing CNN and a donut is probably not a good way to start the day for the first 30.
You know, to reach their own. I would say no. Yeah. Yes. I would agree.
Right.
But I mean, but at the same time, like, it doesn't have to be, I need a 27 minute yoga routine where I'm in a 96 degree room and sweat it. No, it's like, dude, I get up 5 days a week. Part of my power hour consists of me yelling up to my wife from downstairs, honey, I made a kick-ass pot of coffee today. Mm-hmm. And like that's a win for me. Like, there's a good pot of coffee. So it's little things like that, you know, and it's starting off with the affirmations, you know. It's going to be great. Is it going to be a great day? Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah. I love how you keep score a little bit, and you've taught me this. Like, even dentists, there are some dentists that we coach, and I'm like, it's a terrible month. I'm like, look, the month is, you know, 15 days for you. If you have 8 good, 7 bad, you're in a good place. Now let's go to 9-6, then 10-5. Do you know what I mean? Now you got a little momentum, right?
It's just find little ways to give yourself momentum. It's
right.
Dude, it's like, I'm sorry, it's just super relevant to me because I just got back. It's like the ride. You know, we're struggling. It's like, all right, pick out the next mile marker sign. Just get to that next mile marker sign. We don't have to be focused on getting to the top of the mountain. Just get to the next switchback.
Yeah.
Right? There's a little respite right there. Take advantage of that. Then sit in. Sit in behind somebody for a minute. Don't overwork it.
Right. Now, I'm the least qualified to talk about the brain because my brain's crazy. But like the neuroplasticity or whatever, once you start to create these pathways, we see it in people that are collecting money at the front desk. They're like, the patients won't pay here. And I'm like, no, try it. And they try for 3 months and they're like, wow, patients will pay. Yeah. And then the front desk team member goes, I'm raising his fees too. And he doesn't even know. And I'm like, you've just created new neural pathways where you actually believe this can happen. Now there's a new normal. Tell us a little bit about, is that true? Is that not true?
Yeah, your brain is a muscle.
Right.
Your brain is totally a muscle. It's no different than these rocking biceps right yeah. here. Like if I wanna get swole, you know, like I'm gonna work that muscle and I'm gonna recover and like it's gonna grow. Your brain does the same thing. You carve these new neural pathways. And the analogy I talk about, I think I talked about it. The analogy I like, it's that like when you walk in the snow, like you live in Milwaukee now, so you've been there a winter, like you remember, like you know, like we get a good when we get that good snow, like that 6-8 inch snow overnight, and you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I got to, and like they, nobody's shoveled the sidewalk yet. Mm-hmm. And if you got to walk, you know, you're always taking those big, giant steps, right? Because you want to cover as much ground as you can without getting snow in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody else comes out after you, they're like, oh, sweet, somebody else walked there. I'm gonna use those steps because that's way easier for me. It's a little bit easier for them, right? And then over time, like you miss a little bit. It gets, you know, a little bit more. And then by like 11 o'clock, if nobody's shoveled yet, you've got like the smooth path. Your brain works the same way from doing these different things repetitively and creating, turning them into habits. Mm-hmm. That carves these new neural pathways. And then just how you go about thinking about things and understanding the different parts of your brain. I'm going to get a little brain.
Let's do it. Go there, man.
You know, really understanding the different parts of your brain and the role that they play and how they play off of each other. That's when you can really start to get, like we talk about goals. Goals is just a huge thing. Ad nauseum. We talk goals. I've said it 16 times on this webcast, but like understanding, like, how you go about structuring that and how you talk to your brain and which part of your brain, you can actually get your goals to chase you down instead of you working your keister off to try and get them. I mean, you know that you, like, we've got these two different parts of our brain. You got the conscious brain and the subconscious,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, while this doesn't feel dentistry related, it is very much dentistry related. Yeah. I'll tell you, if you want to learn how to talk to your patients better and different types of patients, you got to know this stuff. So you've got your conscious part of your brain, which is your very linear thinking, your very if then, it's your rational, it's your engineer brain, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it must be this because this makes sense. And then you've got this other part of your brain, the subconscious, which is like spring break. Mm-hmm. You know, it's totally your party brain.
Yeah.
And they both play a role, but understanding that putting more time, effort, energy into working with your subconscious, it is just way more beneficial. It's like exponentially more beneficial to you because it's there, you know, big, you know, it's way bigger. Your subconscious is way bigger than your conscious. It's like a million times bigger, like to the tune of a billion times more powerful. Mm-hmm. So understand, like I'm going to work. It's like the 80-20 rule, like 80% of your revenue comes from 20. Like, let's work on this. It's like a reverse though. Like this 80% of your brain, it's like 80% of what gets done. It's an 80-80 rule, right? Totally making like, but like I'm gonna put my effort into like this big money making part of my brain. So it's way different. It's way bigger. It thinks different. It thinks in pictures, right? It doesn't think in numbers. It doesn't think in ROI. It doesn't think in KPIs. It doesn't think in page numbers. It thinks in pictures,
right?
And it will make you act in accordance with the pictures, even if they don't exist. Which is really, it's kind of weird. But we do, you know, I always do this demonstration or this example with like the lemon. Like, can you picture, I'll do this short, but like, Kirk, picture you just cut a lemon in half.
Yep.
And everybody watching, picture you cut a lemon in half and you see the juice drip down. It's a fresh lemon, right? It's kind of cold. You feel the rind in your hand and you got that fresh, juicy lemon and you bring it up to your mouth. You open your mouth, you take a big giant bite of that lemon. And like, right back here, you know, you got that thing. Like, some people, like my mouth is watering just talking about it.
Oh yeah.
Like, this is the thing. Like, there's no lemon in my hand, right? Mm-hmm. But just the picture of that, my brain goes lemon, and I'm drooling, right? So you got this big, powerful part of your brain that only thinks in pictures, and then it doesn't understand no. It doesn't understand no, don't, can't, shouldn't, won't, right? So here, my favorite example, the best parenting tip ever. If any of you have kids under the age of 8, or under the age of 10, we'll use a nice round number. And if you ever tried to get them to not do something, like don't write on the wall, mm-hmm. or don't drop that, don't run in the street. Mm-hmm. Like kids up until age like 8 or 10, they have no conscious part of the brain. It's the subconscious totally run the show. So their brain doesn't understand or register no. So all they hear is drop that, mm-hmm. write on the wall, run in the street, mm-hmm. run in the street. How many times did I tell you to run on the street?
Yeah.
So like understanding how to talk. And so here's the practical application. Oh my God. I don't want to spend a lot of time with that patient. I don't want to waste my time with these pain bills. I don't want to chase people down for money. Wow. I don't want this. You're just programming your brain to go, I want to chase people down for money. I want to waste time with this patient. I want to live, for a lot of people, I don't want to live paycheck to paycheck. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be stressed out. Like all their brain, all their elephant, this big part of the brain hears, hey, let's be broke.
Yeah.
Let's be stressed out.
So you're talking yourself out of a situation before you're even in it, and you're conditioning yourself to lose, right?
Yeah. Most people, they're not even aware of the fact.
Yeah.
You know, like I got one guy I work with. His response all the time. When I say something like, you get that? He's like, no, it makes sense. No, I totally get it.
Right.
Well, which one? No, I get it. Well, which one? No, I can't figure out why I'm so confused.
Yeah.
I think I did. You know? Absolutely. You know? And so just paying attention to these little things. That's big. But and then, you know, that's a big difference maker for people. And then the big difference, and then we'll keep moving, is your subconscious already knows how to do what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like your subconscious knows how to ask for the money,
right?
Patient leaves. Your subconscious knows how to drill. Your subconscious knows how to set the appointment. All the tactical stuff that I know you do an amazing job of sharing and coaching with folks. I'm sorry to tell you this, their brain already knows how to do it.
Right.
But what it needs a reminder of is why it's so important to do that in the first place.
Right, right. Because nobody ever comes and goes, wow, I've never heard that before. They're like, I know that. I don't know why I don't do that. We should have done that a long time ago and all that kind of. I did get a question from our good friend Deepak. He says, some people truly believe they are optimistic problem solvers when it's obvious to everyone else they are pretty negative and they whine a lot. Is there any method or objective test where someone can get true feedback as a precursor to making real change?
Can you rephrase the question? Can you repeat the question?
It's people that think they're optimistic, and you can see they're not. Is there some type of test that would show them, that would give them some sense of self-awareness? No. Like we joke about this. Like I have a friend of mine, and he's an employer. He's like, people are so unaware. They're like, no, I'm a hard worker. He goes, anyone who says that in an interview, you're fired, right? You know, because they're trying to compensate for hard workers. Show you they're hard workers. They don't need to tell you they're hard workers. Yeah, yeah. You know, type of thing. But I guess what he's alluding to is that people are like, oh, I'm optimistic, I problem solve, and then all they do is complain all the time. Yeah. And you can see that evidence all over.
Yeah, one of our favorite. I snagged this one from Roger, my business partner, one of my best friends. He goes, you know, a lot of people think they're really positive, but the only thing they're positive about is how negative they really are. And yeah, I mean, is there a test? I don't think there's a test. Just listening to them, it's pretty obvious right away. And then I always like this. I like throwing the brain scramble in there. I know, not to sound repetitive, I know we talked about this before, but like, I love doing this to people when they're really negative. Like, okay, cool. Hey, like what's working for you right now? Like anything you're grateful for? You know, it's the old waitress. Was anything okay at this meal today for you? Yeah. You know, just give me the nugget.
That can go one of two ways. That can either be helpful or they can go off the rails at that point and go, oh, you're one of those positivity guys, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I am. Yeah.
No, so, again. Is it working?
How's that working out for you?
Yeah. So Deepak, I don't know if we answered your question or not. Yeah, there's.
Man. I don't know, Deepak. I have a question about your question. So we want to meet this person. Let's get her on.
Or sure.
Can we do like a group? Yeah, there is a test. It's an interview between Rob and I live on Best Practice Show. What do you think of that? I don't know if that would work. Yeah, so
we'd have to set it up on the screen. So we're like, I'm here and you're here and they're right here. That'd be amazing.
We can totally do it. We can totally. But let's go back to refocusing our brain.
Yeah.
Because we can chase you and I can chase any squirrel in any woods here. But give me some more practical stuff on how to get this thing between my ears going in the right direction.
Yep. So, say no. It's fun. Okay. Spoiler alert. Zero rocket science from here to the end of the interview here. Like learn to say no and learn to be cognizant of what you're working on and when you're working on it and be in charge of your own GSD committee. Getting stuff done.
Yeah.
That's a big thing to just keep your brain like refocused. You know, just giving it I tell people all the time, like, again, going back to the goals thing, but like you substitute like vision or purpose or whatever for goals. And just that is like, it's like you ever held a magnet up to a compass and like through the needle, like all of a sudden shoots wherever they think, like that, having that stuff is like it's the magnet that makes your needle go, okay, I'm on track. Let's do that now.
Mm-hmm.
We relate your brain to an elephant and it just like your elephant's going to wander around and it goes, okay.
Yeah, but no is offensive. People don't want to hear no. Like, I'm so afraid I'm going to disappoint. And dentists want to please people, so they don't want to say no. They say yes to seeing a patient in the evening. They say yes to taking the insurance. They say yes to employees that aren't sometimes. They say yes, 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 and it ultimately makes you miserable. How many times have you been in a situation you're like, I should have never said yes to this. I'm going to waste 5 hours now, and I don't even want to be here type of a thing. I do respect people a lot when they're like, nope, nope, not going, nope, not going
to
do that.
I know, we tell people you got to just kind of like, you got to run out of stuff. Like, this is totally not PG. You got to be all on dams to give.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we tell people, and there's a book. There's a great, the Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
I saw that one. Actually, my team picked it up and they loved it. They loved it.
Yeah. It's fun. I get like an email a week from somebody I've worked with. They're like, oh, I just read this book. Do you know this one? Because it's totally you.
Right.
But like, and that's not a braggy thing, but like just getting like the whole purpose, the whole premise of that book, I kind of give you the Cliff's Notes, is that it's not so much that you don't care or that you don't give an F. It's that what you do care about carries so much more weight and importance that you're focused on that, and anything that isn't related to that can fall by the wayside.
Right. In teenagers and being married, we can all pick your battles. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to lose that one, but I'm winning this one, type of a thing.
Yeah.
You
know? And so, like, that's one thing we talk about, too. It's just, like, the power of not caring is oh, man, I'll never forget. I was doing some work in a financial services office a couple years ago. What sets you apart as a financial advisor? And, you know, these guys are like, I like to help people, and I like to manage, you know, success, and all this and that. And this guy's like, oh, I have the power of not caring. I'm like, oh, you're my hero. I like this guy.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't care what you do with your money.
Well, it's counterintuitive because by not caring, you can lower your visceral response to everything. I also, my wife and I talk, it's okay to play dumb sometimes. Like I play dumb. I'm like, when people are like confidently wrong, I'm like, that's interesting. Cause I could battle. I'm like, I've seen the literature on that. I know what you're talking
about. I'm thinking about like three conversations ago when you look like really dumb in front of me. What was I saying?
Right. I was like, really interesting. That's fascinating type of a thing. You know, you don't always have to be right, but like, because I've watched people lock horns and just completely disagree and then get really upset about something stupid that doesn't matter. And that can make you nuts too.
Well, it's MAS or FAS. Have I told you about this one?
No, tell me about this one.
Male answer syndrome.
Why is that? Tell me.
Female answer syndrome. It's your desire to be right about anything or everything, or maybe like share your opinion and have an answer for questions that aren't ever asked. You can always tell when someone is suffering from, I call it MFAS because I want to be like gender neutral. So, there's no specificity to it, but you can always tell, well, you know, that's all. When somebody starts, well, you know,
that's MAS.
Like, oh my God, here it comes. They're going to do it. They're going to just be MASing. And it's amazing. Like that just, you vomited those words just now. That was amazing. Let's see. Well, you know, well, the problem is, well, I heard, that's another good one. That's another. So like, avoid some of these, like if you find yourself often saying things like, well, you know, and actually, that's my friend. Actually, that's In the game of negativity one-upsmanship, no one is a winner.
Right. Well, you know, when they use "well, you know," and they cite references from YouTube, that's always a challenge. I saw it on YouTube, and I'm like, really? That's good.
Got it.
If you got MAS, then you haven't listened to the number one rule to stay married as a man is you can be right or you can be married, but you can't be both, right? Exactly. You got to pick one, right?
Right. So anyway, so again,
this is big brain science right here.
I know. There's probably people going, oh my God, there's notes being taken left and right here. But no, I know you asked for tactics and like, what are the things we can do? Like the biggest thing you can do is just be looking for these indicators that you may have a runaway brain.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you firsthand that if you've got a pulse, you probably have a runaway brain. Like it's just inherent in all of us. You're never going to eliminate the issue, but there's absolutely things you can do to minimize it or reduce the amount of runaway that you've got going on. Right. You know,
it makes perfect sense. And I need the therapy on this or the actual treatment plan on it. And gosh, this book, my wife and I are reading this. It's the Japanese organization book. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Let me guess. It's Lost in the Shuffle.
No, it's somewhere in these piles of
things. See what I did there?
No. So she does this. She calls it a great exercise. You put all your clothes in a pile. I did this. And then you pick it up and you go joy or no joy. And if you don't have any joy, you give it away. Like I had like 6 shirts left when I was done. I was like, look how simple that is. It was crazy how much I was able to give to other people and simplify my life. But more so than the closet, it was the brain. The reason I get my car cleaned is not because it cleans the car.
It cleans your brain.
Right,
yeah, that's another thing we talk about is just this concept of decluttering. Yeah. And Essentialism by Greg McKeown. I'm looking up because it's on you got yours behind you. Mine are above me, my books. Essentialism by Greg McKeown, that's a big concept comes out of that. Just like when you declutter. Mm-hmm. One of our friends, she's a realtor, and she's a very successful realtor in Wisconsin. And she talks about how every time she cleans her desk, she finds a couple grand in commissions that wasn't there when she started. Because she finds a lead or a referral that just kind of got lost in the shuffle, and she'll call them up and be like, oh yeah, we were going to sell our house. Oh, we were just about to call you. She's like, it's so weird. But every time I clean my desk, I make at least $3,000. And so, yeah, but same thing with the car. I know Roger does the same thing with his car. Mm-hmm. The closets, there's all these different ways you can declutter. In gardening and green thumbing, you know, they talk, you gotta thin it out in order for your bushes to grow. You gotta kind of cut the dead stuff out.
Right.
And that's really what's going on in your brain. A lot of people just, they let this stack up happen. We talked about, we run. We go. We may or may not take enough time for mental health days. We may or may not get the workouts in that we really want to. We start shooting all over ourselves.
Right.
One of my favorite lines. Oh, I should do this. I should have read that. I should go shopping. I should go for date night. You know, and so what happens is like that just becomes this growth, and you just got it. You got to get it out of there. You got to declutter. That's a really great thing. To again, counterintuitive. What do you mean take stuff away to go faster? What do you mean slow down to speed up? That's a perfect example of it right there.
Yeah, it is a perfect example.
You can get rid of the old. You can get rid of the old fraternity shirt, Kirk. You're allowed to do that.
Can I? Right. In one of the topics we talk about all the time on here is the sleep epidemic that's happening in dentistry. And I know you train people all over the world to try to retrain their brain. But how much is sleep playing a role in, or lack of sleep playing a role in less functioning of the brain now?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's the nice thing we talk about, people, is a natural byproduct of proper organization, proper prioritization, proper vision, proper focus, proper purpose. The byproduct of that is better sleep. You know, when you have your calendar mapped out, when you go into the week with a plan, even if there's a you know what storm that strikes on Tuesday morning, you've still got a plan you're operating from. Like you're just not stressed and you're sleeping better. And so, yeah, I mean, this whole, you know, sleep's over. I had a buddy, sleep's overrated. I sleep 4 hours a night. I'm like, all right, let me know how that works for you. A couple years later, I'm like, dude, you look exhausted. all the time. It's like, yeah. I am.
Got to get some sleep.
You got to do it. Yeah, we had, it's tough. It was, I not to get all like uber personal, like I lost my grandfather last week and I was,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was kind of unexpected and it was tough. And not to, you know, to turn into a lesson. You know, I spent a lot of time, you know, we went to the hospital to, you know, at the end there and, you know, mom and I went home and we were up chatting and finally I'm like, mom, I know it's hard. We got to get some sleep. Like, mm-hmm. Even if it's an hour, just, we got to recoup. We got to recuperate a little bit. We have major decisions that need to be made tomorrow and we're not going to do that. We're not going to be able to do it as effectively. Like we got to
absolutely.
Break, you know? Yeah. So it's just, you know, a real life example. And I mean, you don't have to like rely on death to do that. You know, it's just being mindful of the fact and just pulling the e-brake every now and again. It's okay. You can pull the e-brake every now and again.
Absolutely. Well, I know we only get you for a short period of time. And Lori is asking, how do we get your book? So tell us a little bit about the book that's coming up. What is it called and how can we get a copy of it?
Yes. So the book is called Mastering Your Mind, Counterintuitive Strategies to Harness and Refocus Your Runaway Brain. Okay. Master Your Mind, Counterintuitive Strategies.
And is it going to be on Amazon? Where is it going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be on Amazon. We're taking pre-orders now. I think it's due out sometime in October, November. So if you go to our website, which we'll get you that URL right away, we'll have you can pre-order them right away. We'll get an audio to you. We got some other bonus stuff for the pre-purchases. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be on our website. We'll be making it available any live events we're speaking at. I'm kind of proud of it. I won't lie to you. It's my first book.
Buddy. You teach some great stuff, man. And it's always helpful. Every time we have you out, every time I run into a study club, you know, even, you know, I was talking to the Gottliebs, like you were just there. They're like, he's amazing. Like, and I've seen you so many times. And I'm just saying, if you got a study club and you need something entertaining, but also incredibly worthwhile and very helpful for everybody, it doesn't even have to be dental specific. Spouses can come to these programs. It's great stuff. You got to get Rob Z out there and he's the man. Like, so.
Thank you. I'm trying to keep up with I learned from watching you, okay?
Stop. Well, I'm grateful for you, but
thank you.
I know we got to wrap up here in just a second because I actually have to run to a baseball game and I know you got to run too. Thank you, my friend, for being on. We're going to have you back for some other topics here coming up. And I get a copy of your book when it's out. I want my own copy. You better send me a copy.
I'll send you a photocopy of something. No, yeah, I'll give you a, You're on the nice list.
There you go.
Thank you so much. It was great being with you.
Yeah, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Don't go anywhere just yet. But thank you guys for watching. If you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button. Keep sending us suggestions that you want to see for shows with Rob and with other clinicians. We got a whole bunch lined up over the next couple of weeks. Don't miss Seattle Study Club Symposium. If you get a chance, do not want to miss that. That is just an amazing, unbelievable event. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be right back.